Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We are stepping right into the heat of the moment, January 2026. And I have to be honest with you, if you work in tech or content creation or really any field where you're staring at a screen for a living, you're probably feeling a very specific kind of fatigue right now.
Oh, tool fatigue. It's
yeah,
so real.
It is.
You can feel it everywhere. It feels like every single week there's a new model, a new update that's supposed to change everything.
Right.
It's just exhausting trying to keep up.
And there's this one specific question I keep hearing. You're trying to get work done, you open up an AI tool, and there's that voice in your head, or sometimes an actual person saying, why not just use Perplexity?
Exactly. It searches way faster.
That is the question of the year, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's become the default sort of critique for everything else.
It has. So today, we're unpacking a source that I think really pushes back on that default.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at a super comprehensive and honestly pretty philosophical breakdown by Majid from Tekken Game.
The article is called Gemini Unleashed, Reasoning Over Search in the AI Era. And it's not just a review. It's really an argument about how we should be working.
It really is. I mean, the core conflict he sets up is that we've confused two totally different things. We've confused searching, which is just, you know, fetching info, with reasoning, which is actually solving problems.
Okay.
Majid is basically arguing that for 2026, the search bar is dead. He doesn't need a librarian anymore. He needs a senior consultant.
The search bar is dead. I love that. A very bold claim. So that's our mission for this deep dive. We're going to explore why a creator and developer like Majid is, well, completely switching his loyalty and his whole workflow over to Google's Gemini.
Right. We're talking context windows, native multimodality, and this idea of the inspector.
And just to be clear, this isn't about bashing other tools.
No, not at all. It's about understanding the shift in what we even expect from our tools now.
Precisely. So let's start there. Perplexity versus Gemini. Because Majid isn't saying Perplexity is bad, is he?
No, not at all. In fact, he gives credit where credit is due. He calls it a phenomenal conversational search engine.
Yeah, it is.
And I think we could all agree on that. I mean, if I need to know who won the football match last night or the price of Bitcoin right now, I am not opening up a heavy-duty model for that.
No, you just want the facts, fast.
Exactly. Perplexity is the king of retrieval. I mean, think about what it's actually doing. You ask a question, and it sprints out, opens 10 tabs, skims them, summarizes them, and hands you this neat little report.
It saves you the clicks.
It's an incredibly efficient research assistant. But, and this is the big but,
this is where Majid draws the line.
Yeah. He says that whole approach just completely falls apart when you're trying to do complex, actual work.
We're not talking what's the capital of France. We're talking, here's my messy code, tell me where it's going to break.
That is the pivot point. If you ask a search engine, even a smart one, to debug your code, what does it do?
It searches for the error code.
Right. It finds articles about similar errors. It retrieves what other people have already written down.
But it doesn't know my specific code.
It doesn't know your project. It's looking outward. But Majid needs something that can sit across the desk from him, look at his messy, unique data, understand the internal logic, and synthesize a solution that literally does not exist anywhere on the internet.
So the difference between finding an answer and creating a solution.
Precisely. It's reasoning.
Yeah.
And Majid's whole argument is that while we were all obsessed with search speed, Gemini quietly became the best reasoning engine out there.
Okay, so if reasoning is the goal, what's powering it? Because the source points to one technical spec that changes everything, the context window. Mm-hmm. I hear that term everywhere, but I don't think people really get how much it dictates what these tools can actually do.
You're so right. It sounds like jargon, but it's probably the most critical part of the whole system.
So let's break it down. When we say context window, what are we talking about?
Think of it like the AI's short-term memory. It's how much information the model can hold in its head at one single time before it starts forgetting things to make room.
It's like reading a book. If my memory is short, by the time I get to chapter 10, I've forgotten the main character from chapter 1.
That's a perfect analogy. And if we look back just 12 months to early 2025, which feels like a decade ago.
Ancient history.
The models then, like GPT-4 or Claude, they had real limits. You'd feed them a 100-page document, and by the end, they were literally making stuff up about the beginning.
The bucket was too small.
The bucket was overflowing, exactly. So they just hallucinate to fill in the gaps.
And this is where the jump to 2026 gets a little sci-fi. Majid talks about Gemini just shattering this limit. We're talking about a capacity of up to 10 million tokens.
It's a number so big it's hard to even picture.
Right.
It's thousands of pages of text. But to show what that really means, Majid gives this incredible example. Auditing the Tycoon Game theme's legacy code.
Oh, I felt this in my soul when I read it. We're talking thousands of lines of old CSS and PHP spread across dozens of files. Just spaghetti code.
A developer's nightmare. And in the old days, you know, last year, you'd have to do this in chunks.
You'd copy-paste. Here's file A. Wait. Okay, now here's file B.
And you'd have to keep reminding it, hey, remember that variable from the first file? And usually...
I wouldn't.
It would lose the thread. But with this 10 million token window, Majid did something different. He uploaded the entire repository.
The whole thing. In one go.
Every single line, every folder.
Yeah.
Just dumped the whole project in.
Wow.
And this is the aha moment. Gemini didn't just read it from top to bottom. It loaded the whole project into its working memory at once. So it could cross-reference, say, line 300 of the first file with line 5,000 of the last file at the same time.
That's the key. It's not just storage, it's connection. It's seeing the entire web of logic.
Exactly. And it came back and said, Majid, you have a variable conflict between the footer and this header script in a completely different file, and that is why your site loads 200 milliseconds slower.
That is insane. A human developer would spend a week hunting for that. You're looking for a needle in a haystack, and you don't even know what the needle looks like.
Or they might just never find it. It saw the whole system. Majid calls Gemini the employee who never forgets a memo. And honestly, even the newest GPT models struggle to do that as well, or as affordably.
So we've got the memory, but there's another piece to this, how Gemini actually perceives the information. We have to talk about native multimodality.
Yeah, this is a huge architectural difference that I think most people miss because, you know, the interface looks the same. A text box.
Right. The older models, like GPT, they were born as text models. They were basically very fancy word processors.
They were trained on text, and when they added vision, the ability to see images, it was bolted on later.
Like wearing a pair of smart glasses, maybe?
That's a great way to put it. The model would take an image, use a separate tool to describe it in text. This is a cat on a mat. And then the AI would process that text description.
It's translating. And you always lose something in translation.
You lose a ton of nuance. But Gemini was born native multimodal. So from day one, its brain was built to understand text, code, images, video, and audio all in the same vector space.
Okay, vector space. Give me the simple version of that.
Think of it like this. If you speak English and learn French, you're always translating in your head. That's the old models. Native multimodality is like growing up bilingual. You don't translate, you just understand. Gemini doesn't turn a video into text to watch it. It just watches it.
And Majid gives this killer example of how that changes his creator workflow, the Instagram content.
Ugh, yes. The tedious work.
The old way, you'd have to describe the video to the AI. Hey, I have a gaming video. There's a big action scene around 3 minutes in. Write a caption about it. You're doing all the work.
But Majid doesn't do that. He just feeds Gemini the raw 10-minute gameplay video file from YouTube.
And Gemini watches it.
It watches it frame by frame. It's analyzing the action, the color palette, the emotional pacing. And it came back and said, hey, at the 0.4.2R mark, there's an intense action sequence perfect for a viral reel. Here's your caption.
Okay, that stops me in my tracks. It didn't just summarize. It acted like a video editor and a social media manager.
It understood the intent of a viral reel. It connected the visual data to a marketing goal.
That's the power then. You don't have to describe the world to the AI anymore. The AI has its own eyes.
Exactly. You're not the interpreter anymore. You're the director.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the third big point Majid makes. The ecosystem.
He talks so much about friction, and I feel this. When I use ChatGPT with files, I'm constantly doing what I call the file shuffle.
Oh, I know the file shuffle.
Download from email, upload to ChatGPT, wait, copy the answer, paste it into a Google Doc.
It totally breaks your flow state. It's like your consultant is in the lobby. You have to pack up all your papers, go out, explain everything, get the answer, and then walk back to your desk to do the work.
Yes. Whereas Majid argues that Gemini lives inside the office building.
Specifically inside Google Workspace.
Yeah.
And he gives it a name. He calls Gemini the inspector.
The inspector. I love that. It implies it has clearance. It has access.
Exactly. Because it's integrated, Majid describes this workflow where he gives a single command. He says something like, check my emails from the Dubai sponsor from last week, pull the budget Excel sheet from Drive, and draft a proposal.
And he doesn't move a single file.
Not one. The inspector has clearance. It goes into Gmail, finds the right email, goes into Drive, parses the spreadsheet, and synthesizes it all into a new Google Doc.
For someone like Majid, working between Dubai and Iran, that's not just convenient. That's saving hundreds of hours of just admin busy work.
It turns the AI from a chatbot into an agent. An agent does things. It has hands.
Speaking of doing things, we have to talk about the killer case study. This part of the article, it actually made me anxious just reading it.
The database migration.
The ultimate developer nightmare. So set the scene for us.
Okay, so Majid is migrating his site's database to Supabase. And he invents. He's a media manager who knows enough code to be dangerous.
Which is the most dangerous state to be in, honestly. You know enough to break it, not enough to fix it.
Totally. So mid-migration,
yeah.
Boom, catastrophe, everything breaks, the site is down, he's getting errors that aren't even on Stack Overflow, he's in a full-blown crisis.
And the first thing he does, naturally, is go to the old guard. He asks ChatGPT.
He does. And this is where that lack of context really shows. ChatGPT gave him the generic playbook, clear your cache, restart the server.
It was guessing.
It was guessing based on general knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a doctor trying to diagnose you over the phone without seeing your lab results. They can't see the specific problem.
So he calls in the inspector.
He takes the raw server logs. We're talking 50,000 lines of what looks like gibberish to a human. A wall of text. He feeds the entire file to Gemini. And he gives it this simple dramatic command, Inspector, find the killer.
Find the killer, that's a movie line.
And Gemini delivered. In 30 seconds, it didn't say, maybe check this, it said, Majid, on line 4202, you have a query syntax that is incompatible with the new PostgreSQL version.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this is the best part, it gave him the refactored code to fix it.
Line 4202 out of 50,000. That specificity is just wild.
He pasted the new code in, and the site went live.
Instantly.
That moment, that right there is the realization.
It is. Majid says that was when he knew he hadn't just hired a chatbot. He'd hired a CTO who doesn't ask for a salary. That level of deep contextual debugging, that is reasoning. That is the difference between search and solution.
It really solidifies the whole argument.
Mm-hmm.
And Majid breaks it down into a head-to-head comparison for 2026.
Mm-hmm.
He gives the AIs these personas, which I found super helpful.
Yeah, the personas are great. He calls ChatGPT the university professor. That feels right.
Yeah.
Very knowledgeable, maybe a little dry.
A little dry, but has that sort of literary edge. You know, if you need a poem or some creative prose, the professor is still a great choice.
Right.
But then he calls Gemini the creative engineer and analyst.
The builder.
The one who builds.
Mm-hmm.
And the specs back it up. For internet access, ChatGPT uses Bing, which is good. That's fine. But Gemini uses Google Core, which Majid says is just superior.
And you have the speed difference.
Right. The Gemini Flash models are blazing fast. And then, of course, the context window. 128,000 tokens for ChatGPT versus up to 10 million for Gemini. It's not even a fair fight on data volume.
So the verdict, at least from his experience, is pretty clear. Quick chat or a poem, go to the professor. Quick fact check, Perplexity is your king.
But for the heavy lifting.
Code, data, video, strategy. You need the engineer. You need Gemini.
That's the takeaway. It's about matching the tool to the task. We're past the one-size-fits-all phase. But for that builder profile, the developer, the manager, the friction of the older models is starting to become a real deal breaker.
So wrapping this up, we're seeing this shift from AI as a tool for answers to AI as a co-pilot that actually does the work. Majid mentions he's running on a Core i9 and an RTX 3060, and he's placing his bet squarely on Google's horse.
It's a compelling bet. When you look at the integration, the multimodality, that massive context window, it's a very strong case for professional workflows. It raises a big question about loyalty, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, we all got so attached to ChatGPT because it was the first to give us that wow moment. But are we holding on to it now just out of habit?
That's the question. The long memory of Gemini isn't just a feature. It fundamentally changes how you can work. If your AI can remember every email, every line of code, every video frame, why would you go back to one that forgets the first page of the book?
That is the thought we want to leave you with today. Are you still loyal to the old guard, or is it time to upgrade to the inspector? Which side of history are you on?
It's a choice that could define your productivity for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. Think about that the next time you're copy-pasting a file into a chatbot. That's it for this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.